hereafter. That's not what we're here for. Not going to the hellfire is not something hard. It's easy. Allah's mercy is too great. Allah will forgive with the slightest excuse. What's hard is to gain higher levels of closeness to Him. So this isn't something that we should actually ask for. A person who dies young didn't have the chance to develop. Of course, it doesn't mean that he's going to be in a bad position on that day, but he won't, or she won't, benefit from all the good stuff either.
One cannot wait to see the wonders we are promised in the world of Barzakh, a world which takes us one step further to our final destination, meeting with the Lord, a world which empowers us to an extent unimaginable for us in this life. However, we have not exhausted all our topics about the fascinations of the world of Barzakh. Join me in the next episode of Discovering Islam to talk about those topics. Until then, peace be with you.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa junudu iblis ajma'un.
And the soldiers of Iblis all together.
قالوا وهم فيها يختصمون
They will say while they dispute therein
تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين
By Allah, we were indeed in manifest error.
Dear listeners, brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we reached the 98th verse of chapter Shu'ara. إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَمَا أَضَلَّنَا إِلَّا الْمُجْرِمُونَ
These verses are the continuation of the confessions of these polytheists and the ones who are deservingly in the fire of hell. The 96th verse started saying, قَالُوا وَهُمْ فِيهَا يَخْتَصِمُونَ تَاللَّهِ إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. They said, and they will say when they are quarreling therein, تَاللَّهِ, by Allah, that we were in manifest error. And they continue saying, إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, when we made you equal to the Lord of the worlds, and none but the guilty ones led us astray. وَمَا أَضَلَّنَا إِلَّا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. We said that this is the kind of situation and environment that fire of hell has, contrary to the environment of paradise. Paradise is full of safety and peace. It is full of salam, but contrary to that, the situation in fire of hell, it is full of blaming and curse. As you can see, they are blaming mujrimun. They are blaming the guilty ones, but not themselves. Anyway, they say, by Allah, we were certainly in manifest error. In the previous program, they said that they have understood and recognized that they were in manifest error in the world because of following the false idols. But now the verse continues saying, when we made you equal to the Lord of the worlds, إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Because they were the ones who believed these false idols were everything to them. They were the creators. This is what they believed. Now, this is the question. Who is to blame in this situation? The ones that followed those idols or the ones and sinners that were the chiefs among them?
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
So, dear listeners, as the verse says, they believe in hereafter, in the fire of hell, of course, that they have been in manifest error because they had made the idols equal to the Lord of the worlds. They believe that they are the creators of the universe. But at the same time, these sinners believe that nobody misguided them but the sinners, those sinners who were the leaders and the chiefs of their societies. They were the ones who tried to protect their own benefits. So they try to lead others to this way and cause the others to end up in the fire of hell and misery. وَمَا أَضَلَّنَا إِلَّا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. So one probability of this verse, مَا أَضَلَّنَا إِلَّا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, is that these followers of the false idols, they believe that the chiefs among them did this to them. But there is also another probability. It is this, that the purpose of the guilty ones, مُجْرِمُون, is the criminals, Satans, or their aberrant ancestors who caused them to be in that way. So there could be this probability that they are in the fire of hell, and at the same time, they're blaming their ancestors, because they were the ones who started this tradition. قَالُوا بَلْ وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. We found our ancestors doing so, so we continued. However, on the hereafter day, everybody tries to lay his fault and blame on another's shoulders. The ones who are ending up in the fire of hell try to blame their ancestors, the chiefs among them, the Satans, and the aberrant ancestors. But this laying fault on the other's shoulders is not doing good for them, because they have to, better say, they had to accept the responsibility of their own actions in this world when they had the chance to do so. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to sit us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
And tonight I want to speak a little bit about the need to be distinct. The problem is that sometimes we know that if I do adopt and cultivate this Islamic identity, and I begin to look at the parts, so dress the way Islam has asked me to dress, and by the way, that dressing is both for male and female, I think that we as men need to understand what it means to be a wholesome dresser, whether it's the idea of, you know, cut off t-shirts, or whether it's the idea of ripped up pants, or whatever the case may be. Everything that's fashionable nowadays should not be followed. You should understand that, you know, if the Holy Prophet was worried about how he looked before he left his home, we should also stop and look at ourselves to see, am I respecting myself, first of all? Because sometimes I feel like when we talk about libas, then of course it goes towards our sisters, the sleeves, the socks, the whole nine. No, we as men also need to worry about how we look. Anyways. So now what ends up happening is that I adopt, let's say, for example, the ahkam and fiqh when it comes to the clothing of the deen. And in this generation now, in this era now, that becomes, or that makes you to become a little bit distinct. You end up not looking like others. Now, whether that's obvious examples like our sisters covering their hair, for example, or other examples. A lot of time now, trying to instill this idea that it's okay to be distinct inside of our kids is a very difficult task. For reasons that I mentioned, now all these three nights I talked about those three impediments and three barriers was for this reason. If we can somehow tackle these three, if we can kind of convert the inferiority complex inside to a superiority complex, not in the sense I look down on others, but I'm confident in my belief. And if I can somehow convert that doubt into yaqeen, and convert the fear of rejection to the idea of the fear of acceptance towards God, then I can begin to be okay with being a little bit distinct. Walking downtown and being stared at a couple of times, I have to be okay with that. Now, let's examine this a little bit in a kulli absolute, and then filter it down to a couple examples from the Quran, inshallah. The first thing I will say is that philosophically, every existence has a need to be known. First statement. That includes you and I. Anything that exists wants to be known by others that it exists. The question sometimes my youth ask, and it's such a beautiful question, is that if you claim, Sayyid, that Allah created us to represent Him on this earth as His khulafa, as His representatives, then why does He need that? And if I answer that He needs to be, you know, He wanted to become ma'loom, there's a hadith of Qudsi, that I was the knower, now I want to become the known. I was the alim, now I want to become ma'loom. I want others, other entities, other realities to know me. The question is, why does He need to be known? And philosophy will say, because it is innately built in every existence, including God, to be known. And sometimes we do everyday things to announce our arrival. The Holy Prophet says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ طَرِيقٍ. Every shay, everything has its own path. Whole discussion on the first verse of Surah Jum'ah, When Allah says very beautifully, يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. What does that mean? The tasbih of Allah in the heavens and on the earth. Everything does. مَا فِي, everything. Everything does tasbih. Now you and I do tasbih. We do Allahu Akbar 34 times. 33 times, that's tasbih. That makes sense. The trees, the walls, the mountains, the fly, the sun, the moon, the stars. What is their tasbih? Now, there's a lot of bahas in tafsir. Allama Tabatabai in his Al-Mizan talks about the idea that anything and everything that exists on its path and carries out the reason by which it was created is doing the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as the sun rises every single morning, because that's what the sun does, the rising of the sun is the sun's tasbih. When the moon now takes the light, the diya, the light from the sun and illuminates the dark sky at night, that process is its tasbih. Flowers bloom, the clouds rain, the grass grows. All these things are its own respective tasbih. And by doing so, it announces its existence. The wind howls. When the wind howls, it's saying, look, I'm here. When water drops from the sky, when the rain hits and that noise and the wetness, the grass is wet, my car is wet, there's puddles on the ground, that's all the rain showing us that, look, I'm also here. The growing of the grass, the blades get high, you have to cut the grass, that, of course, calling I'm here. The smell when you walk in a 24 bouquet of red roses, that smell is the rose now announcing I'm here. Every existence announces that I'm here. It wants to be known. We also, through various means, walking in, for example, greeting each other, texting each other, you name it, for example, speaking, all these things are me announcing that, hello, I'm here, I'm known. That's why when others don't reciprocate that to us, we feel empty inside. I mentioned this several times, right? One of the worst things that we could ever feel is invisible. This need for acknowledgement inside of us actually comes from the need to be known. Follow me, please. I'm taking you somewhere. When someone doesn't acknowledge us, we are insulted. If we have the himmat, we say, look, what's wrong? You don't even greet me anymore. You don't come. You came. You said salam to everybody. You just walk right by me. It pinches sometimes. Now, if you bring it up, he might say, oh, I'm sorry, I was in a hurry. But if you let it fester, you think, oh, this guy doesn't even talk to me now, blah, blah, blah. All that based on a lack of acknowledgement. I texted you, said you never even bothered to reply to my text. I know you're busy, but at least say no, yes, something, thumbs up, thumbs down. Acknowledge my text. That's a deeper, internal, fitri, innate need to be what? Acknowledged. To announce that I'm here. So already we have this need to be distinct. Understand the statement, please. It's a very big statement. There's already an innate need for us to be distinct. Okay? I'll give you the other example again. You're sitting in a circle. Someone comes in that circle, says salam to everybody but you. If you did not see yourself, and please, my young guys, my young sisters in the audience, who you think for a moment that you don't want to be distant, I don't want to call attention to myself, mama, with this outfit. I don't want to do all of that. Did my mic go again? No. I don't want to do all that. We don't realize that it's already inside of us. You're sitting in a group with five people, six, you're one group. You are a part of one group. Somebody comes and says salam to everybody else in that group but you. That should be sufficient for you. You are the group. He greeted the group. That's enough. But no, you're like, no, I want my own salam. Understand the philosophy. I want my own salam. Yes, I'm in the group. I'm sitting in a circle, but I am distinct in this group. Today's social media content creators, they want to be distinct. The only reason why people will follow them is if they have something new to offer. Oh, I get all the time. I get individuals that, you know, I ask about, you know, when they come to me and say, oh, do you know this scholar? I say, yes, I know this scholar. Yeah, I attended his lecture series. Oh, okay, how was it? It was good, but, you know, it was old material, old content. He repeats himself sometimes. We want fresh content, Malana, fresh topics. Like as if everything you've heard so far, you've acted on that 100%. There's a reason why every single time he comes here, he talks about the same issue and same issue, because it's not being acted upon. Oh, I remember my usul fiqh teacher in the Hawza in Qum. He taught me, the book that we follow is Sheikh Baqir al-Sadr's book of Halakat. Anyways, the teacher of mine knew this book like, to the point where he wouldn't have the book in front of him, but he would tell us at the bottom right, top left, this line, the third line from the top, the middle portion, the third paragraph, and he would not have the book in his hand. So someone says, Ustad, how do you know this? He said, I've read this book 25 times. We want something fresh. Something I've never heard before. Right? We want this idea. And right now, the social media, Instagram world, all these influencers, as long as they're able to create some sort of continuous creative content, that's them now, of course. That's them now making themselves distinct. And distinct nowadays sells. It does. But that was already inside of you and me all from the very moment that we were created inside of our fitrat is a need to be known. A baby comes out of the womb crying. A baby is thirsty, it wails and cries.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين
In the limelight.
The Biden administration says Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's high office should shield him from a lawsuit over his role in the killing of a U.S.-based journalist, making a turnaround from Joe Biden's passionate campaign trail denunciations of the prince over the brutal slaying. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Responsible Statecraft wrote, the Biden administration has moved to grant Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman sovereign immunity for his role in ordering the 2018 murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi in Istanbul. The government's determination is non-binding and remains to be reviewed by the judge overseeing the lawsuit brought against MBS by Khashoggi's fiancé, Hatice Cengiz, and the organization Democracy for the Arab World Now, or DAN. However, it represents the latest signal that the Biden administration will not hold MBS accountable for the slaying and dismemberment of a U.S. resident. In September, Saudi Arabia announced that the Crown Prince would take on the role of Prime Minister of Saudi Arabia, a post ordinarily held by the King. The decision appears to have been primarily motivated by the pending U.S. lawsuit, because as Prime Minister and thus head of government, MBS is shielded from prosecution. The Crown Prince's new status as Prime Minister arguably grants him sovereign immunity automatically. But the announcement is disappointing in that it reflects a pattern of the U.S. government failing to hold MBS accountable in any way. President Trump actively thwarted congressional efforts to try to punish Saudi Arabia. The global outcry provoked by Khashoggi's brutal murder amplified existing concerns about the U.S. role in supporting the violence and starvation wreaked by the war on Yemen that MBS launched as war minister in 2015. Congress did successfully end mid-air refueling for Saudi and Emirati warplanes dropping bombs on Yemen, but Trump vetoed a congressional war powers resolution that would have ended all U.S. involvement in the Saudi-led war. Initially, it seemed that Biden would finally rethink the U.S.-Saudi relationship. Biden had campaigned on making MBS a pariah for his human rights abuses. Yet since taking office, Biden has consistently prioritized continuity in U.S.-Saudi relationship. In February 2021, soon after taking office, the Biden administration declined to hold MBS accountable for Khashoggi's murder, despite releasing the intelligence report that concluded that MBS was indeed responsible. More recently, Biden reversed his stated commitment not to meet with the Crown Prince when he flew to Jeddah in July and fist-bumped the royal in hopes of encouraging the kingdom to pump more oil to offset high prices caused by sanctions on Russia. Instead, OPEC Plus, the oil cartel dominated by Riyadh, announced a production cut of 2 million barrels per day in October. This has sparked outrage in Washington, especially among Democrats, who feared for their congressional majorities with midterms looming. Although the administration initially promised consequences for Saudi Arabia, Biden's national security advisor later stated that the relationship would be re-evaluated in a methodical, strategic, effective way. Meanwhile, the initial outrage from Congress appears to have dissipated, especially after the Democrats performed better than expected in the midterms. Is MBS fully rehabilitated? Theoretically, MBS could return to the United States if he chose, whereas previously there remained a question of whether doing so would put him in legal jeopardy. MBS has yet to return to the UK, even missing the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II, an event that drew monarchs and crown princes from all other Arab kingdoms. It seems much of the world has decided to overlook MBS' responsibility for the gruesome murder, not to mention his many other human rights abuses. Although the administration's latest move is hardly surprising, it does beg the question, what would it take for Washington to finally rethink its relationship with Riyadh? Also, Guardian wrote in this regard, the Biden administration has told the U.S. court that Mohammed bin Salman should be granted sovereign immunity in a civil case involving the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, effectively ending the last-ditch attempt to hold the Saudi crown prince legally accountable for the 2018 killing. In a filing released late recently, the Biden administration said the Crown Prince's recent promotion to the role of Prime Minister meant that he was sitting head of government and, accordingly, immune from the lawsuit. The United States government has expressed grave concerns regarding Jamal Khashoggi's horrific killing and has raised these concerns publicly and with the most senior levels of the Saudi government. The Department of Justice said in its filing, adding that the U.S. had also imposed financial sanctions and visa restrictions related to the murder. It said, however, the doctrine of head of state immunity is well established in customary international law and has been consistently recognized in long-standing executive branch practice as a status-based determination that does not reflect a judgment on the underlying conduct at issue in the litigation. The government's filing included an attached letter from Richard Visick, acting legal advisor to the U.S. State Department, instructing the Department of Justice to submit a suggestion of immunity to the court. Legal experts say the U.S. government's position, which was filed to a U.S. district court, will likely lead Judge John Bates to dismiss a civil case brought against Prince Mohammed and his accomplices by Hatice Cengiz, the outspoken fiancé of Khashoggi. Dawn, a pro-democracy advocacy group that was founded by the murdered Washington Post columnist, was a co-plaintiff in the case, which said Prince Mohammed and other Saudi officials acted in a conspiracy and with premeditation when Saudi agents kidnapped, bound, drugged, tortured, and killed Khashoggi inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul in 2018. Sarah Lee Whitson, Dawn's executive director, issued a scathing rebuke of the administration in the wake of its decision, calling it an unnecessary elective action that will serve only to undermine the most important action for accountability for Khashoggi's heinous murder. It's beyond ironic that Biden has single-handedly assured Mohammed bin Salman can escape accountability when it was President Biden who promised the American people he would do everything to hold him accountable. Not even the Trump administration did this, she said. In June, Bates invited the Biden administration to weigh in on whether it believed Prince Mohammed bin Salman should be granted sovereign immunity in the matter and agreed to give the U.S. government two extensions before demanding that it file its views by September 17th. A legal observer close to the matter said it has always been understood that even though the U.S. government is not a party to the civil claim, its views would be decisive, and that the judge in the matter would very likely proceed with the case or dismiss it, depending on the U.S. government's position. The Biden administration's decision, which in effect will extinguish Cengiz's last hope for justice, will likely be met with intense criticism by Democratic lawmakers on Capitol Hill, who have pressed the administration to take a tougher stance against its West Asian partner. One lawyer close to the matter said the decision was disastrous for accountability, for human rights, for impunity. The legal decision also makes clear that U.S. President Joe Biden has fully abandoned the campaign promise to hold Mohammed bin Salman accountable for Khashoggi's murder. It raises questions about Biden's public remarks last month in which he said Saudi Arabia would face consequences for leading an OPEC Plus decision to cut oil production, a move that was seen by the U.S. administration as siding with Russia over the interests of American allies. People familiar with the matter said the decision was reached after a big debate at the top levels of the White House, with some senior U.S. officials arguing that it would be difficult to defend the Biden administration's claim that human rights are at the center of its foreign policy while simultaneously allowing MBS, as the Crown Prince is known, to skirt accountability for his role in the murder. Cengiz's lawyers have argued that she turned to the U.S. courts for help because no other forum, including her native Turkey, had an independent enough judiciary to freely adjudicate her complaints. Mohammed bin Salman has denied he had personal involvement in the Khashoggi murder. It has been clear since June that the future of the case hinged on the question of whether, in the eyes of the U.S. government, MBS, widely seen as Saudi's de facto ruler, was considered a sovereign like a president or king, since in most cases sovereigns are considered immune from U.S. lawsuits. When Biden first entered the White House, he declined to engage with MBS directly. His press secretary argued repeatedly at the time that Prince, though seen as Saudi's de facto ruler, was not Biden's counterpart. At the same time, U.S. intelligence agencies released an unclassified report that said Prince Mohammed bin Salman had likely ordered Khashoggi's murder. The president's stance changed last summer when he visited Jeddah and met with the crown prince, giving the heir to the throne a fist bump.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We were talking in previous episodes about the fact that me and you, we need to be generous and giving people. Greed and stingy are not the traits a believer should have. We need to be extremely careful in terms of which way we want to swing. Having money itself is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it could become a curse if we don't use it correctly. And that's the trial and the test that I and you have to face on a daily basis when we have money or don't have money. So either way, we're trialed. But the trial is even harder and severe for us when we actually have money in our pockets. Now, we were saying that in order to make the society a better place and the community that we live in a better place, is that we need to help other people. We need to give them. We need to come to their aid. We need to support them in any way possible. Because if I support a family, if I support a person, I help reduce the amount of sins, the amount of corruption and crimes that happens. When a family or an orphaned child or a widow, for example, there are people to take care of her and that child, they wouldn't resort to go to the streets. They wouldn't be used and abused by other people. But they will be abused and they will put themselves in harm's way when they don't find anyone to help them and take care of their needs. However, when we look at ourselves, when I find myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed a ni'mah, a blessing on me, and I don't share it, then I have to prepare for a number of things. First thing first that will happen to me is that my spiritual level, it will go below the ground. Not just hit the ground, it will hit the ground and sinks in it. He says, the hadith says, حَسَبُ الْبَخِيلُ مِنْ بُخْلِهِ سُوءَ ظَنِّهِ بِاللَّهِ. The least of the problems of a bakhil, a stingy person in terms of spirituality, is that he has bad doubts about Allah. Because if he doesn't doubt Allah, then he would give. Because Allah says, give and I'll give you back. But I'm not giving. That means I'm doubting Allah. That is the least of my problems. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam says, Al-Bakhilu Ba'idun min Allah. This stingy person, a greedy person, he is very far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in terms of spirituality, I hit bottom, rock bottom, as we say. There is nothing that can destroy my faith as much as being stingy. Now, I am losing here. I think I'm winning by having so much money and keeping my money to myself. But the reality is, I'm losing. In the spiritual sense, I'm completely losing. And I can lose on the social arena too. Before I continue though, let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. So I was saying that we lose personally when we decide to be stingy and we don't give to people and do not help. So on the social arena, when a person is stingy and greedy, and it will affect first and foremost his own family members, he doesn't give to them. He takes from them. He doesn't give to them. I've seen many people like that. I got relatives who are like that, actually, who would make the family pay for everything, even though he works and he has an income, but he would rather take from them and make them pay for everything else. I mean, to that extent. And these people are mu'mineen by the sense of the word. I mean, generally speaking, of the way they appear to people. But they themselves, when it comes to their family, when it comes to their relatives, they become stingy. When it comes to people around them, the people around them, people know that these people have money. And sometimes they ask for a loan or they ask for help. And these people say, no, I don't have anything. I can't give you, sorry, go somewhere else. So these people, what happens to them is that they will be hated by their own family members, by their own relatives, and the people around them. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salamullah, he says, لَيْسَ لِبَخِيلٍ حَبِيبٍ. There's no loved one for he who is stingy. A person can be stingy, it's a choice he makes. He can be greedy, it's a choice he makes. But would anyone love him? If Allah does not love him, then no one will love him. They become hated. And I and you, pretty sure, we have examples of that too. We know people who are in this category that we hate for the fact that they are stingy and greedy. And then he says, alayhi salamullah, he says, bil bukhli takthuru al-masabba. With a stinginess, then so many curses will come. The quickest way for a person to be cursed by others is for him to be stingy. And me and you probably would have cursed a few stingy people ourselves. And then he says, la yatma'an, and the Imam mentions a few things. He says, a person should not seek or be hopeful of the reward of Allah if he becomes what? Al-Bakhilu fi Silati Rahim. When it comes to his relatives, next of kin, he is stingy. He says, forget about it. Don't even bother with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the social arena, he's also hated. On the spiritual arena, he's below zero. On the economical arena, is also he would lose. Why? Because he would not be comfortable. He would be constantly trying to make more money, more money, more money. So there is no peace of mind. And he will be working day and night. He will be tired constantly. He would be, I don't know, he would live a life of a poor person, like Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah says, عَجِبْتُ لِلْبَخِيلِ يَسْتَعْمِلُ الْفَقْرَ الَّذِي هَرَبَ مِنْهِ. He will fall into poverty that he's trying to avoid. That's the problem. So also, in that sense, a person who is stingy and a person who is greedy will destroy himself without realizing. So in these three levels, I lose, if I was what? A stingy person. I lose my spirituality. I lose my social status. And I lose my economical status. So what do I have left? Allah does not love me. People don't love me. And I'm killing myself. So I'm losing in every sense of that, in every sense of the word. We need to learn to be generous. Give, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you in this world and in the hereafter. Help other people, for Allah will help you in this world and in the hereafter. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبيب لها ولا راغي
The merits and virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to admit unanimously that Amir al-Mu'minin, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, was indeed the best judge among them. Imam Ahmad, he records in his Musnad, Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Hanbal, my father, from Waqi' from Sufyan, narrates from Habib ibn Abi Thabit, Sa'id ibn Jubair from Ibn Abbas that Umar said, Ali is the best judge among us. So indeed, Imam Ali was the best person in justice dispensation, which requires being a good judge and having great knowledge.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This